Christian, as a parent, as a former counselor of children, I know that the forcible separation of a child from his or her parents is a trauma, regardless of how well that child is or isn't treated thereafter, and can produce very long-lasting effects. But I don't really want to talk about the nuances of that practice, and I really don't even want to talk about what led up to that practice to begin with. Rather, what I hope to explore today is the federal administration's use of scripture to defend that practice. And it happened twice. First, a week ago this past Thursday, when talking about the separation of parents and children as a byproduct of the zero tolerance policy, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, said, and this is a direct quote, so I want to get him correct, "I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government because God has ordained them for the purpose of order. Orderly and lawful processes are good in themselves and protect the weak and the lawful," he said. And then later that day, when responding to a question regarding the Attorney General's use of scripture, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, quote, it is very biblical to enforce the law. That is actually repeated a number of times throughout the Bible, she said. So, first things first, as we just read, in his letter to the Romans, Sessions is right. Paul does indeed call on the Romans to obey civil or governing law, emphasizing that God has ordained the government to help achieve social order. And, what's more, Huckabee Sanders is correct, that the law plays an absolutely central role throughout all of Scripture, and that the enforcement of law is present throughout all of Scripture. In fact, I would say that the law is the very hinge of God's first covenant with the people Israel. You know, in the very beginning of Scripture, we read all about it. As God promises to be Israel's God, and they promise to be God's people, and at the center of their relationship lies the law of God. The law God gives Israel so that they can live in an orderly and secure way. Let's also be clear that the law of that God gives Israel, this law called Torah, it is not actually civil law. This is God's law, which God enforces. So when Israel messes up, when Israel ignores God's law, or simply disregards it, or creates their own laws that are opposed to God's law, what we see happen throughout Scripture is that God is the judge. And God heaps judgment on Israel throughout the Old Testament, most clearly seen in splitting the nation up, dividing them in a northern and southern kingdom. And then when the northern tribe continued to disregard God's law, they got overtaken by the Assyrians. And when the southern kingdom continued to disregard God's law, they got overtaken by the Babylonians. The northern kingdom was never heard from again. The southern kingdom was exiled, but came back, thankfully. So make no mistake, the law is important to God. It is the very first measure that God uses to instill order in creation and God's people, giving them this as a gift so that they can live in a stable and secure environment. So yes, the law is important. But let's also be clear that this is God's law we're talking about here. The law of the Torah, which is not the same thing that Paul is talking about in his letter to the Romans. That is civil law. And yet, the reason we're talking about law of the Torah is because that is absolutely crucial to understanding what Paul is talking about to the Romans. So as we now at last dig into the 13th chapter of Romans, what we find is, again, as Sessions noted, Paul talking about the law. And to be clear, again, he's not talking about the law of the Torah, but about societal or civic law of the government. And what Sessions says is true, right there, verse 1 says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Now, I'm not going to lie. This is a really tough verse. And at first glance, this single verse, and even the next two that go with it, they might seem even antithetical to everything else we read in the gospel. Almost as if Paul is saying that we should subordinate God's law to whatever law our government is imposing. Excuse me. Because of this, Romans 13, verse 1 has been one of the most abused verses of scripture throughout history. As I researched for this sermon, more than one scholar advised, preacher, don't preach on this verse. Because you rip it out, right? When you rip it out, it reads as if Paul is really saying that disciples should do whatever the government tells you to do, regardless of its morality. But here's the thing. The Bible isn't meant to be read as individual verses. In fact, it's not even meant to be read as a cluster of verses here and there. When we do that, when we take a single or even a couple verses out of the Bible and read them completely on their own, not understanding what comes before them and what comes after them, that actually has a name. It's called proof texting. And I learned all about this my first year at seminary when I started getting really bad grades on my papers. Because when you proof text, you might do it easily, but you never do it faithfully. Preachers do it. Churchgoers do it. Evidently, politicians do it. Because scripture is not a book of single verses. It's a collection of a whole that can't be understood properly without the first and the middle and the last. So in order to understand what Paul is really saying in that first verse of Romans 13, we need to understand this bigger picture that he's been painting throughout this letter to the church in Rome. Now remember exactly that, though. Romans is actually a letter Paul writes to a church. And in it, Paul is trying here to actually explain his theology. He's trying to talk about what he believes, why he believes it, and why the Romans should also believe it. And so, in the first half of the letter, Paul talks all about the Torah law. And he explains that under the Torah law, none of us were perfect. All of us fall short. We're all sinners, every last one of us, deserving God's judgment. But in Jesus Christ, we receive not God's judgment, but God's grace. In Jesus Christ, redemption comes to the world, he says. And in Jesus Christ, the law becomes not abolished. The law doesn't go away, the law of the Torah. But in Jesus Christ, Paul says, the law is fulfilled. Makes a really big deal about that. The law doesn't go away. The law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And the way it's fulfilled, he says, Jesus tells us in the great commandment, to love God with all our heart and all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. On these two commandments, Jesus says, all the law and the prophets hinge. So again, it's not that the law doesn't matter, the Torah law to Paul, or that the law of the government is now the only law that we should obey. Rather, Paul is saying that the law of love in Jesus Christ now fulfills the love of God. That's the first part of Romans. Now, the second part gets more complicated. And as we see in our lesson today, part of this complication is due to the fact that Paul actually believed that Jesus Christ was coming back pretty much any day now. He not only believed this, he also taught it. He taught it to the churches that he formed. He taught them that Jesus Christ was likely going to return, if not in their lifetimes, really, really soon. And so many of those earliest Christians believed Jesus was coming back any day now. In fact, you may have noticed it at the very end of our lesson today. He writes, "You know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone," he says. "The day is near." He's saying, yes, we do believe that Christ and his salvation are closer than ever before because he is returning. But he's also saying, evidently, you have to pay attention still to today. Scholars posit that what was happening is that because of this attention given to Christ's return, if Christ is coming back any day now, well then, why do we need to pay taxes? If Christ is coming back any day now, why do we really have to participate in this civic order? Why not direct all of our attention, all of our energies, to simply the kingdom and withdraw, basically, from the community and participation of the common good for folks outside the Roman congregation? And so here, Paul offers a corrective to that. He says, yes, Jesus Christ is coming back, but that's not a reason to ignore the government or the community around you. For the government, he explains, has been created by God to help establish and keep order for the common good. So you still have to pay taxes, he says, and you still must abide by the laws of society. So in this sense, Romans 13 again says, obey the laws, respect the government that God has ordained, because the government is there to protect order and it's work for the common good. Are you with me? Okay. Now, if Paul ended there, Jeff Sessions would have a very legitimate argument. The issue is that Sessions doesn't stop there. That Paul doesn't stop there. He keeps going. For once, Paul tells the Romans that they need to abide by the law of their current world and obey the government. He then makes clear that the civil or human law was ordained by God to serve the law of God. Meaning, the law of God is still preeminent over the law of humanity. And Paul then reminds them and us exactly what's at the heart of God's law as he reiterates that great commandment of loving God with all that we are and loving each other as ourselves. Except he doesn't really say it exactly like that. This is what he says. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Again, this theme of fulfilling the law is huge for Paul. He goes on. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery or murder or steal or covet, they're summed up in the word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, he says, because love is the fulfilling of the law. So I need to be clear. The Attorney General doesn't have it right, and neither does the White House press secretary. Paul's intention is not to claim that every Christian should obey every law of the government, regardless of what it does or says. And nowhere in Scripture do we ever read that followers of Christ are called or even urged to abide by laws or policies that stand in contrast to God's law of love. Rather, in a very complicated part of a very complicated letter, Paul reminds disciples that we have a responsibility to abide by civil law because that's supposed to support the common good of all. And our regard for others, our regard for the common good, stands as the foundational ethic of loving our neighbor as ourselves in the first place. And if we need further proof, frankly, that Paul didn't intend for every disciple to obey every law, we need only consider that Paul was arrested quite a few times during his day for disregarding the laws of government, just as Jesus Christ himself was tried and convicted and killed for disobeying the laws of the government, specifically sedition. So instead of blindly following the words of politicians or preachers, I might add, instead of turning a blind eye to unjust practices of our society, Paul's letter to the Romans actually makes the case that disciples are called all the time to seek the way of God in Jesus Christ, to do and behave and to treat others in a way not as society demands us, but as God's rule of love requires us. It's the very example we see played out over and over and over again throughout the Bible, wherein God perpetually strives to move people from a place of brokenness to wholeness, where God's grace is always working to break down the walls of hostility and division around us, where God is forever helping sinners find grace, helping prodigals find home, helping the poor and the oppressed uncover their God-given dignity. And any law of any government that opposes this movement of love any personal practice that seeks to tear down rather than build up, any policy that seeks to harm rather than heal the last and the least, those who can't fend for themselves, regardless of circumstance, I believe any such practice is clearly unbiblical and calls for our resistance. For as Paul himself says so clearly, friends, love does no wrong to a neighbor, for love is the fulfilling of the law. Love, love, he says, fulfills the law. Love, and nothing other than love, fulfills the law. May it be so. Amen.